Welcome. It's time for yet again another episode of Movie Mastery in Theaters Now. We did a poll on the website, and we went and saw the movie that you all voted for. It was Deadpool 2, and I am joined again this week, as last time, by Quinn and Josette. Hello.
Hi, John.
He's a weirdo. I apologize. Hello.
Who are you apologizing for?
Don't ever apologize for me.
Don't you dare.
I shit in my own bed, thank you.
I was apologizing for that awkward eye contact that the two of you were making when Quinn did that.
Delicious. That's a 10.
The sexual chemistry in the room, you guys. Ugh, you could cut it with a knife.
Oh, yes. The sexual chemistry so thick.
This chemistry with is a knife. So thick.
Is that not the term? I'm so bad at English, I swear. You'd think it wasn't my first language or my major.
So yeah, we went to go see Deadpool 2. I assume both of you saw Deadpool 1, yes.
Yes.
Oh, what? No.
No, never. What, never? No, never.
No, never. Not ever. Yes. I saw it with Quinn.
Yes, we saw it together.
Sweet. Okay.
And
so,
then I saw it apart.
No spoiler. How would you say Deadpool 2 compares to the first one?
No, no, no. That's not fair. Like, sequels never live up to the first movie.
Are you sure about that?
But also, they beg comparison. Also, let me put out a couple comparisons for you. Aliens with an S. Terminator 2. Many people would say those are better than the first iteration.
Shrek 2.
Nope. Good comedy beat, but false.
Have you considered Iron Man 2? Have you considered Thor 2, The Dark World? The D World.
Oh, you mean the movie everyone does their best to forget about? Yes.
I think you mean
removed.
Everyone's favorite Thor.
That would be Ragnarok, and you know it. It has an NPC from Quinn Wilson himself in it.
But it doesn't have Christopher Eccleston in a lot of dark elf makeup.
Yeah, almost nobody actually knew that was him.
Oh, I knew. I could tell just by looking at him and that sweet, hot, pasty face of his.
Malekith, I've got no joke for this one.
More like Malekweef? I don't know where I'm going to
go
with this.
Nope, that direction.
You can Malekeep me in your sex dungeon, sir.
Okay, Deadpool 2, not as good as the first movie, in my humble opinion.
I would say it was better. I would honestly say that.
There were a couple things. It's interesting. It works better as an ensemble piece, and I think that its structure is a little clearer. The first movie was a little bit confused in its structure, and was like very loopy. But there was also a couple pieces of, like, rough around the edges charm that really sold the first movie that weren't here. So I'm kind of in the middle between you two. I think that there's elements that were better, elements that were worse.
You're always in the middle between us, Quinn. Just fucking move.
I'm sorry, guys. God, I'm a centrist.
God, you're so fucking bisexual. Choose one.
Hey, rather a bisexual than a centrist.
I'm bicentrist.
Get out of my home.
I am bicentennial man.
Oh, Robin.
Spoiler free review. I would say it's still very funny. I think the plot kind of hangs together a little better than the first one, in my opinion. I'm not saying like the first one was garbage and this was great. I think it's, you know, slightly better than the first one, but I liked both of them.
Yeah, I think that if you liked the first one, you'll like this, and they hang together on many of the same merits.
Yeah, no, that's a fair one.
So we are going to get into our full spoiler review after the music, but I would say, yeah, this is one you should go see in the theatros. It's got enough high energy, super expensive looking nonsense to make it worth it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You're gonna want to see some of those
At hot, a specific scene.
There's a specific scene.
In IMAX.
No. Oh, no. Yes.
You don't want to see the scene they're talking about, y'all. Just for that, wait until it pops up on HBO Now or HBO Go.
It's popping up.
Netflix.
It's popping.
I'm horny. Let's do it. Ride it. My pony.
Please cue the other music.
We'll be right back with a full spoiler review of Deadpool 2. And we are back. It's time to dive deep into the Deadpool 2. Actually, honestly, before we even get into it, I want to talk real quickly about those previews.
Look, there were some grade A previews.
I have to talk about the preview for the movie Hereditary.
No.
There is a horror movie coming out called Hereditary. I had only seen ads for this on Facebook, but it was just like a picture.
Right.
And, oh, baby. The preview for this was something else.
There were so many hard cuts accompanied only by this sound.
Oh, God. And it was more than even what Quinn is giving you. It was
so wet.
It was meaty and moist is what I would like to call this preview.
Someone had a very powerful, very wet tongue, and they were using it to full effect.
They were using it for evil.
Yes, I started getting chills in my seats, but not good chills. Not even
they
horror
were
related chills. This was just sheer... My everything hurts. This is why I don't listen to ASMR videos.
Oh my God, it was so good. Like, by the end of the preview, both of us were just in the chair going, stop it. Stop. Stop making that sound.
Stop. What are you doing?
And then to make matters even better, is right after that preview finished, they were like, hey, do you want to come work in our theater? And like the whole theater just broke out into laughter.
I also cannot emphasize enough that this whole trailer was building to the moment where you actually saw the little girl in front of the camera underneath a tree. And you're like,
that's your big terrifying buildup, is that a small child is making mouth clicks, and I can't deal with this.
They ran out of nursery rhymes.
Oh, we've run out of nursery rhymes to slow down and make creepy, so now it's just mouth clicks.
Listen, your grandmother has possessed you. Her evil has gotten inside of you, and her favorite thing to do.
You would not believe. She just loves it.
She just loves those clicks.
She loves them big, meaty mouth clicks. Also, please go see my new band, Big Meaty Mouth Clicks. We're a ska band.
Ugh. They would be.
Okay. I needed to talk about that before we got into Deadpool.
Also, there's a Purge prequel coming out.
Oh my God, yes.
And
I'm so
I
excited.
Believe that Marissa Tomei herself says that America needs to get all of its rage out on just this one night, and
just
then everything will
night.
Be okay.
Everything's going to be fine if we just be angry for one night. Just one night of being a real big dick, and then we're fine. That's
thanks, Mary
works.
Tom.
I love The Purge, and I've never seen a single one of them, but I love it dearly.
No, that would be why, because you have never seen one.
It's I don't know why the concept is so great to me, but I don't want to actually watch it. I'm just I'm glad this exists. I want this beautiful boy to go out into the world and do his best.
Yes.
No.
I agree with you, because without having to actually sit through it and see all of the flaws, you're just left with this bizarre understanding that this is a world where the Purge works, and enough people keep buying these tickets that they got to keep making them.
Oh, yeah. There's enough people that are like, oh, there's a new Purge film. I'm on it. We're going. You. We're going.
And the social commentary in this one, folks, looks quite heavy-handed.
Yeah, I mean, at least from what I gather in the first one, it was much more about, like, class, as far as, like, the rich people can afford houses that have, like, protection against people that are attempting to purge, or they can afford, like, better weaponry or armor or whatever if they want to go out a purging. And then we got into, like, politics in the third one. I don't remember what the second one was at all. But then
yeah,
this one is
Purge
very...
2, Purge Harder.
Purge 2, I feel, was just like the first one worked and we are scrambling to make another one.
And hey, it got him to election year.
And then the fourth one that is coming up is very much like, hey, black people, huh? You know how, like, cops? Let's do an entire movie about that.
And I'll say, there's potential for that to work as a piece of commentary. I'm not sure that The Purge is going to be the best vector for that. We'll have to wait and see.
We will have to wait and see.
Except none of us will be seeing it. So you, our lovely listeners, can tell us all about that movie.
Oh, it's yep. entirely possible that I will have to go see that.
It's entirely possible. And as a white person, I can't. I have no authority to speak to how well this does or doesn't work. But there is a man, regardless of the racial issues, who tapes syringes to his knuckles. Like the Hepatitis C Wolverine.
It's so, real good.
So Deadpool 2.
So Deadpool 2. I mean, diving right into it, we get Deadpool blowing himself up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He fucks up his apartment and lays down on a bunch of barrels of explosive stuff.
And blows himself up.
Yeah. Oh,
and
oh.
Calls
and
out
it starts...
Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
That huge Jackman.
Oh, I love that fucking huge Ackman.
It actually starts out with him, like, tuning a Logan music. It's not a box, but we're just going to call it a music box. And it's got Hugh Jackman, who's been, like, punctured through the wood. So, like, Logan's wood.
Right through the wood.
Right through the wood.
Yeah.
Ow, my wood.
TFW, you get punctured through the wood. I RT, mean, if you agree.
That's the only way to kill Wolverine is you're going to puncture him.
Right through the wood.
Yeah. Right through the wood.
Nowhere else will
that's
work.
That's his weak spot.
Yeah, he can heal anywhere else.
With all Canadians.
His Achilles heel is his wood.
You got to puncture him through the wood and collect his sap.
Oh, boy.
Yep. Okay. But it's because he makes a comment when he's exploding that, like, Wolverine's such a badass and he died, so fuck it. Yeah, Deadpool's going to die too.
You stole my thunder for making an R-rated movie after I did it, and then you died. Well, fuck you. I'm going to die too.
Sorry, I just got to loop back around real quick. In the words of Donkey from the movie Shrek, I'm making waffles. Thank you.
Thank you. for your consideration. Thank you.
Just mentally... put that back about 30 seconds and you're good to go.
If you can go back and do that, thank you, the Academy. Thank you.
Thank you, Hugh. Thank you, Ryan Reynolds. And thank you, Marissa Tomei, for your line delivery in that Purge 2 preview.
Okay, but yeah, so then we start rolling with who did what, and the writers are the real villains, and...
We get the same non-credit opening thing that we sort of got from Deadpool 1.
You know, cute, but... we've seen the joke.
I've seen this joke. I know it. I did like it. It was a good montage of opening stuff. It was fine. I was fine with it.
Yep. We get that sort of, in a much tighter space, a loop to how Deadpool got to this point, like we did with the first movie, but it doesn't take like 70% of the runtime to get there.
The beginning of this is much more of your standard montage, like, this is how I'm a badass now. So, you know, just running into gangsters in China and Japan and Russia and whatnot.
Italy.
Italia. Napoli. Napolis.
Venezia.
And Biloxi.
And fucking Biloxi.
And then he comes back to America, where this guy runs into his panic room. Fuck that guy.
Yeah. So, you know, at the end of the murder montage, we get him going to kill off a real bad guy that he murders everyone for. And then the guy has a panic room, so he can't quite kill him because he is late for his anniversary. And he gets back to his apartment, and I think Marina Baccarin has made a deal with the devil, or has the best makeup crew ever, because she has not aged in 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's real, real weird. And I'm like, is this CG? What's going on here? There's no way you still look like this. Yeah. I mean,
did you get the technology from Captain America Civil War that they used to de-age Robert Downey Jr.?
So there is this thing, a person really called Dorian Gray, and she just did the same thing.
Yeah, there's a painting of her up somewhere. Because, I mean, you look at the old Firefly show and you're like, you look exactly the same as that. And then you look at poor Nathan Fillion and you're like, you do not.
No, it's like some sad wet ogre has taken root in his jowls.
Yeah, every time that Nathan Fillion gets a new role, he goes to open his mouth and just from deep in his jowls you hear, donkey! Donkey! I don't know why Shrek has wormed its way into this podcast as hard as it has.
I'm not going to lie, but shortly before we started this recording, I showed everyone some hot pics of Lord Farquaad with a martini glass, no shirt.
Not going to lie, before this started, I became Shrek.
I am Shrek. Shrek lets me into his dungeon, and if I please him, then I'm allowed to exit, but I will put myself in the dungeon if I fail to please Shrek. This is a callback to something that folks will recognize from the Swallows of the South bloopers. So, you know, that's just some cross-promotional material.
There you go. That's that good cross-promotion. Guys, if you want more sex dungeon Shrek, then you should check out the Swallows of the South podcast. What it's all about.
Yeah. It's
sometimes that gets interrupted with some role playing, but mostly it's just
mostly the Shrek stuff. Yeah.
So yeah, they have a lovely reunion. Wade and Vanessa. I remembered the name of people. It's good for me. I don't even have an IMDb open in front of me like I normally do.
I also want to say you see a lot more Wade face in this movie.
Oh yeah.
They really let Ryan Reynolds do the part of acting where you use your face in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, the one problem that you usually have in superhero films is when they have to find excuses to have a character not have their mask on.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, oh, man. Fucking Tobey Maguire's just got to rip that puppy off at like a moment's notice so that we can actually see his sweet pretty boy face.
Yep.
And in this, it feels less forced. There's no point where he's like in the middle of a fight and it gets cut and he's like, oh, I've got to take my mask off so I can act with my face now.
Oh, now it's the climax. And I, Ryan Reynolds, am ready to take my face off. And by face, I mean mask. Look at my acting.
That's a spot-on Ryan Reynolds impersonation.
It was like Ryan Reynolds was here.
Just right here. It's unbelievable. I've worked so hard on that, and I'm proud to debut it today on the podcast.
Thank you. It's uncanny.
So they have a brief conversation about, hey, happy anniversary. Here's my IUD as a gift.
Yep.
Which he thinks is a bomb because he does not know how birth control works.
Yep. And he gives her a skee-ball token from their first date.
Yep.
Then they're like, oh, we could have a baby. And then she gets fridged.
Yep.
Yeah. So immediately after that, and I mean, we're sort of jumping over all of the jokes here because, you know, you don't need us to just tell you jokes.
Yeah, I feel like the content of this review is going to be a lot of us skating over a lot of the jokes because, Jesus Christ, it's a comedy movie. Go watch it for the comedy.
Yeah, I mean, also, jokes are going to be far better within the context of what's happening than me being like, let me describe what's going on, and then a joke happened, and let me tell you it was this.
Yes, also, let me tell you real, real slow the way this joke worked.
Also, nobody comes to Movie Mastery for the jokes.
True facts. Yep. Nobody wants our jokes. What they really need is that hot digression.
Oh, yeah.
As well as some Shrek dungeon.
That's the digression.
Yeah. Nah, man, that's the main course.
It's that sweet meat. Shrek is the sweetest meat.
Yosh!
Okay, but yeah, so Ness gets fridged to, like, awaken Wade's paternal instincts, amongst other things.
His man pain, mostly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably the weakest thing in the movie for me is that happening. I mean, we spent the entire first movie of Deadpool where it was like, we really want to show that Vanessa is not just like a damsel in distress, and we're not just going to like kill off a love interest for motivation. Like, this isn't a thing we need to do. And then just immediately in this movie, they're like, nah, this is the driving force of this movie.
For a movie that makes a lot of good decisions in terms of like representation and like handling issues like that. Granted, it does also make some missteps, including this. It was disappointing.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Josette.
Oh, I literally forgot what it was.
Okay, if the woman would like to speak on the issues of fridging, that'd probably be good.
Oh, I am sure that it would be, because she had plenty of things to say about it in the car.
Actually, let me just talk all over you again.
That works too, you know?
That's Hold on. Totally fine. If you've got an opinion, let me just tell you what it is.
Oh, thank you. That would be so nice of you. I love it when men
So
do
what
that.
She's saying is it was totally okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everything's great here.
Oh, I remember. The writers actually called themselves out in the credits. God, what the fuck is that called?
You know the little the it's the opening credit roll.
Yeah, yeah. So in the opening credit roll, because they said they were the real villains.
Yeah.
And then throughout the movie, they make jokes that it's lazy writing. And what they didn't realize is that the fridging is the laziest writing of all. So if you want something to motivate your characters, folks, you can write down fridging and then write down 10 ideas that have absolutely positively nothing to do with the murder or rape of a woman in the plot, and go with one of those other ideas.
Yeah.
There you go. Creative Writing 101.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been so easy to tie, because the whole theme of this movie is family.
Yeah.
Like, he was going to have a family and that was taken from him, and he sort of creates this new family along the way.
Like Swallows.
Yeah, exactly like Swallows.
I regret to inform you all that it is pledge drive season over at Swallows of the South, and
it's sweeps week here. But I mean, you could have very easily had Deadpool have this connection with Russell, the sort of main crux of this film, whether or not this kid grows up to be evil or not. Like, having him project this need to be a father onto him is fine. Like, you can do that without having to kill his girlfriend.
Especially yeah. because they explicitly call out he's got a father complex with how bad his own father was. You didn't need to take the next step.
Yeah, like, there are plenty of other ways that they could have done that. Like, Ness could have already been pregnant. They could have been having trouble getting pregnant for a while. Like, miscarriages are a terrible thing, but like, they're a common thing that happened to a lot of people. And
then
like,
we could have gotten a loss reference in Deadpool 2, and that would have been amazing.
That would have been some high level stuff.
So that would have been, if there had been a loss reference in Deadpool, I may have lost my shit.
I certainly would have lost my shit.
It would have definitely beat Deadpool 1 for me.
So, yeah. She dies. Wade then goes on a kill spree and kills the whatever the crime person was that he was trying to kill before that came in and killed her. And then he attempts to kill himself.
a few times.
Yeah, but he cannot, for he is the regeneration.
For he is...
a jolly good fellow.
For he is a jolly good fellow, and nobody can deny. So Colossus comes, picks his pieces up, sends him back to the X-Manor.
Yep.
Yes, where we get the sweet scene where Deadpool is complaining that you think the studio would cut them a little slack, give them a few more X-Men, and while he's moaning and groaning in the hall, you see them in a room, look at him, and just be like, motherfucker, shut up, and they close the door.
Yeah, you see Beast scrambling to close the door before Wade notices that they're there.
Oh, yeah, and it's all the people from the new, like, first-class era X-Men films, so you have, like, young Cyclops and everything in the other room, and Beast's just like, close that door.
It was very good.
Yeah.
So good.
I was pleased, both for the visual joke and because of that reference to the first one, where it's just like, here, this is all we got. You yep. get Colossus and teenage Negasonic Warhap.
Mm-hmm. And her girlfriend!
You get... Negasonic teenage baby bottle pop.
I love that they gave her a girlfriend. That was my favorite thing ever.
So the dynamic between Wade and Yukio was very, very good, because I've had relationships that are exactly this. Like, I think everyone's got a relationship with one person where all you do is give these very lively, energetic, warm hellos and goodbyes. But that's all you do.
Well, yeah, it is so representative of that, like, you're the, like, partner to someone that is my friend, and I want to be very nice to you because you're the partner of my friend.
But we don't have anything going on beside that.
Yeah, but I do not know you and have nothing to say to you.
Oh. Hi, Yukio!
Hi, Wade!
So good.
It was really good.
Oh, I loved it.
I also love that, you know, spoiler alert, what you see her do in the trailer with the chain is basically the only thing that she does in this movie.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like, she does not do any super heroic stuff until, like, the last 10 minutes, and it is only that thing you saw in the trailer.
Right, and Colossus, Negasonic Teenage Warhead, and Yukio are all smaller bit players in this than they were in the first one, except Yukio, who, you know, made her debut here, because there's X-Force that we gotta get to.
Gotta get that X-Force.
But that's a ways away.
Yeah. So Colossus manages to convince Deadpool that in order to get out of his depression, he should join the X-Men and come along with them.
Oh, boy. So they make him a trainee X-Men, and they give him an adorable little jersey.
He's got, like, an X-Man trainee crop top jersey.
Well, it's supposed to go down all the way, but his swords, like, it gets stuck on his swords on his back, and so it can't drop all the way.
It's good. It's real good.
Very crop toppy, and I love it.
So they are going to go try and help out Russell, a kid that is AKA Fire Fist, who is making a scene, and that's at the Essex School for Mutant Rehabilitation, which is a reference to Nathaniel Essex, aka Mr. Sinister. And this is like the fifth time they have referenced him in X-Men movies and then not done anything with him.
Good.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Because anytime I think of Essex, I think of
sex with your mom last night.
I think about E-sex. That's right, folks. Teledildonics.
Please go on.
Nope, I think about a street that I regularly have to fumigate properties on.
Good.
So, glad to know that it's actually named after a villain, and that's why I have to fumigate so many of those goddamn houses.
Yeah, no, actually, Deadpool, the writers, they hate fumigating.
I fucking hate it.
Everybody hates fumigating.
I do wish they would do something with Mr. Sinister. I mean, Deadpool is a great place to put him just because his name is Mr. Sinister.
Mr. Sinister? Yeah.
It's real good. And I want him to be in full, like, complete white skin and a little red diamond on his forehead and, like, a weird sort of high top fade with a mullet. He is so good.
Fuck.
He's got them 80s shoulder pads and a cloak that is just strips of red cloth.
I will say that of all of the properties in circulation right now, Deadpool is best suited to handle the nuanced character of Mysterio himself.
Mysterio Sinister.
Yes.
Ooh-woo.
Ooh-woo. Mysterio Sinister. Oh, Mr. Deadpool, I have a surprise for you. I hate mutants.
Jesus.
And I'm hungry.
That goes out to my best friend who will try to murder my fiance when they hear that. Love you.
This one goes out to all of you listeners who love me. You want to give me a big old bottle so I can be not hungry no more.
Oh my God.
Anyhow.
We have a lot more of this movie to go through.
So yeah, he attempts to talk down Russell, who is not having it and sort of blows everyone up. And then he hits him in the head with the pommel of his katana.
Yep. He throws it at him from a long way away. Beans him right on the head.
Gives him a good old noggin dropper.
Knocking him unconscious instantaneously.
But just for a few seconds and long enough for Deadpool to be like, nah, kid, you have woken up and you don't really want to go to the icebox. It's a bad place. You do want to stay here until he realizes that Russell is being tortured.
At which point Deadpool looks dead into the camera, takes off his mask and says, ICE is the Gestapo, hashtag where are the children?
Thank you.
Fuck ICE. They're the fucking worst.
True fact. So he kills one of the orderlies before he gets put down by Colossus, and then they both get the old Genosha collar that suppresses mutant abilities, and they're both headed to the icebox, which is a big ol' prism, and that's out in the snows somewhere.
Yeah.
Quite literally in an icy place. It's a box full of people up in the ice.
It's the icebox.
Hashtag just icebox things.
Hashtag all these plums.
Hashtag I'm sorry I ate your plums.
So
William,
yeah.
Cobos, William's a bad boy.
He's not a bad boy.
I eat it all your plums, though.
That they were so delicious.
Can I tell you about a wet wheelbarrow? That's Pablo Neruda, isn't it? I got it all to the poets confused because
no.
I'm a baby.
That is William Carlos William.
That's what babies do. They confuse their poets.
It was William Carlos Williams?
Yes.
Good. I was worried it was Pablo Neruda.
It was Pablo Naruto.
My favorite warrior poet.
Okay, but yeah, so they go into the icebox where, because Wade has the collar, he just has cancer and it is killing him. And Russell attempts to remove his shiv from his prison pocket.
Yeah, the Russell is super into the idea of him and Deadpool being like super badass and run the prison. And, you know, Wade is basically at this point like, oh, I'm suicidally depressed and I am fine with just dying. It's cool.
Right. I'm very quickly rocketing toward my own demise. You do what you want, kid, but I'm not going to have any part of it.
Yeah. You should probably make friends with someone else because I'm going to die. So we get a whole bunch of stuff and then we get a sweet little taste of our movie's antagonist.
Yeah. A big bowl of foreshadowing, as Wade says.
A big old cable.
A big oily butt. A big round wet McMuffin.
We get flash forward to the future, and it's Cable time. It is time for that Spectrum. We got that Cable. And he is finding his dead family, and the...
That's right. Talk about the icebox. This is fridging number two.
Well, at least they didn't exist beforehand. Like, they came into the movie dead. They didn't have to die on screen, at least.
True.
But also, man, I know they don't go into it in the movie about anything for what Cable's deal is. And I kind of wish that they had added a little more of his actual backstory of like, yeah, I'm Jean Grey and Scott Summers' kid, and I'm from the future where they sent me to live with the Ascani, and I have like 12 middle names because I'm Nathaniel Dayspring, Ascani's son. And I would have...
It's so much.
I would have loved to have a little bit more of that, like, I have telekinesis, but it's mostly used to keep my techno-organic virus at bay that has turned my arm into metal.
Well, the problem with that is we have not seen Cable's story enough to just be like, oh yeah, I got bit by a radioactive spider, and audiences to be like, okay, yeah, cool. No, that makes sense. We've seen that story like five times.
Cable is not in the zeitgeist.
No. I actually do, to an extent, appreciate them just being like, you get it. He's a cyborg dude with a metal arm. Go from there.
Look, we showed you a grim dude in the future. He's got cyborg stuff. You're fine. You don't need anything else.
You've seen Dragon Ball Z? Imagine Trunks, but old.
He's got some tech, and he's got a big old gun, and that's all you need. But I would have loved for some more dumb Cable bullshit.
There's room there to mine for jokes. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I mean, this movie was only an hour and a half long. You could have stuck some more stuff in there.
Yeah, that extended cut.
Give me that cut.
The 4-hour cut of Deadpool?
I want that uncut Deadpool.
Can you please put my 14 deleted scenes back into the movie? Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're oil-come.
Yes, you are.
So yeah, Cable needs to go back into the past and stop his family from dying.
Man pain.
Yeah, everyone's real big into that man pain. And it's time for him to go blow up Russell. Because turns out Russell grows up and he's a real big dick.
See, Russell's going to grow up to write the revival series of Doctor Who. That's right. It's Russell T. Davies, everyone.
And it's time for Cable to go back and stop Russell T. Davies
because
from ruining everything.
Only by killing Russell T. Davies can I stop the ascension of Moffat.
It's the only way. So yeah, we get Cable breaking in there trying to kill off Russell, but
they make it look like he's trying to kill off Wade for a minute, though.
Because we don't know who he's going after yet.
I mean, you do if you've watched the trailers, but Quinn forgets everything that he sees in the trailers, so he probably didn't.
Oh, there's one thing he won't forget from the trailers. There you go.
That's a 10.
You're welcome, listeners.
I hope you're wearing your good earphones today.
You got them headphones jacked all the way up. So, yeah. Wade gets his collar blasted off, so now he can get his sweet, sweet powers back.
After really just a brutal fall onto a table.
Yeah, he bent real bad.
What happens to him is what I'm secretly worried will happen to every wrestler anytime they hit a table in a professional wrestling match. I'm like, what if this is the time?
Every time a table match happens, I'm always like, this is it. This is when they die.
This is when they're going to turn into a Z shape.
They rehearsed it so many times, but this is the time that it goes wrong, and I'm sorry.
I know it's a breakaway table, and it's basically just balsa wood, but you're going to die. This time, it's a real table, and you're dead.
This time, it's a real aluminum table.
But yeah, so Cable gets into a big fight with Deadstone, and they really duke it out.
Yep. And, you know, both of them go falling down a mountain as they blast their way out of the prison. So,
after Wade basically verbally disowns Russell.
Yeah. Which, you know, it's bad. It's a bad scene. Russell's a sad boy.
He's so sad. He just needs help.
He's a sad little boy, and he misses his mommy very much.
My name's Wusso. I'm so sad. I had my fire powers and nobody liked me.
Why would you bring that? Why would you? No. I gave you an opportunity to change voices with Deadstone, and you didn't. You went right back to that one.
It's not working.
No,
it's not.
I think I got about one more in the tank.
I am just going to puncture your tank and let it leak out.
Ow, my tank.
So...
I need my healer and my DPS.
Basically, Cable and Deadpool get launched out, and he's like, yeah, you know the part of the movie where the hero hits rock bottom, cracks his head on a rock, and then plummets down to the bottom. But it's okay, because he's Deadpool, so he gets back up, and then he goes on to make X-Force.
Yeah. This is the first of the scenes where he... Or no, I think it's the second scene where he gets to see Vanessa from his near-death nonsense.
Because we did see one, I believe, when he explode himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, where she said that his heart wasn't in the right place.
Yeah.
And now he's at the bottom of every bottle, not like you, so you're sorry.
It's time for he goes back to...
A different story.
the bar where he's talking to
TJ
Miller, who frankly put a real damper on this movie for me. He's got good comedic timing, but god damn it, TJ Miller's such a shitbag. He's just awful.
Is he?
As a human being, yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he sucks.
I was unaware of TJ Miller's shittiness as a human being.
Yeah.
But
hashtag look it up.
Hashtag Google. They're going to get their new super group together. And we get basically everyone from the trailer. We get Bedlam, Terry Crews showing up real quick. We get Vanisher, who I don't remember.
It was Brad Pitt.
Oh, that was Brad Pitt?
It was Brad Pitt. And we were like, what?
Or, as the Japanese call him, Brappy.
Brappy.
That's not a joke. That is what the Japanese call Brad Pitt.
That is actually what it is. Hashtag Google.
Hashtag Google it. Hashtag Brappy. Hashtag Brappuccino.
We get Domino, who is great, and I am glad to see Domino make an appearance.
Domino
yes.
really steals the show.
We get a Shatterstar, which I fucking love that they put Shatterstar in this, and that he straight up is like, I am from the Mojo universe world, and I'm like, yes, fucking yes, thank you. Do not explain that. Do not say anything about it. All I want to know is that, yes, indeed, you are from the Mojoverse.
Yeah, so they just lay that all out there. That is that thick, deep plot stuff that they just... let lie.
We get Zeitgeist, the man who can vomit acidic bile.
Yeah. And then
and
we
Peter.
Get Peter.
And Peter, who just saw the ad.
He's just a guy with a mustache.
He's just some guy. Just some fucking guy.
Vanisher, by the way, is invisible.
Yes, throughout the entire thing, until they die.
Yeah.
Because the big spoiler alert for this is... everyone on X-Force dies immediately upon jumping out of a plane except for Domino.
Because she's lucky.
I was... The exchange that they have about Domino's superpower is very good. But yes, she's lucky. And that is very good in the way that they pull that off in the movie. I am not familiar with her characterization in the comics at all. But that was good.
Yeah. I mean, she's... from the same era that Deadpool and Cable came from, she is a Liefeld-era creation.
I could tell by some of those jokes that they were throwing out.
Yeah. But...
apparently, she was made by someone who can't draw feet.
Yeah. Rob Liefeld cannot draw feet. That is one of his big things. Also, there's constant fanny pack stuff for Cable is also a good reference to his pouches.
It's really funny. If anyone gets the chance, by the way, they should look up... Scott McFarlane and Rob Liefeld drawing for Stan Lee.
And Stan Lee
because
just dunking
Stan Lee
on
is
them.
Dunking on them incessantly. And when Rob gets to the feet, he's like, you gonna tighten those up? And basically he just like runs the marker over the triangle feet like two more times. And it kills me every time.
It's so good. Every time it is so good.
Look it up. It's good. It's
hashtag,
worth it.
Hashtag Google.
Hashtag Google it. Hashtag Brappy. Please look it up.
There it is. There's the last
Where's
one.
Where's my feeties? I need my sweeties feeties.
So yeah, they are all getting together and jump out of a plane, and we get a little scene right before that of TJ Miller mentioning that there's a high wind advisory, and then everyone just dies, and it is amazing.
Everyone gets caught in the high winds, and what a joke. It was very good.
It was a real good scene.
Especially because, I'm not going to spoil jokes, because you should just see them on your own. It's a very good scene.
Just see some jokes.
Go see those jokes. Hashtag buy a ticket, go see it. Hashtag piracy is illegal. Hashtag piracy is wrong. Hashtag no pirate bay. Hashtag no pirate way. Hashtag here's a little story I've got for you. Hashtag my name is Quinn Wilson and I'm here to say I'm going to rap to the beat in a Wilson way.
Good lord. So yes, they are moving all of the prisoners from the icebox to a different Supermax prison. And so that is what they were trying to parachute down to, was this caravan.
Yeah, just a big convoy of linked boxes.
That Domino lucks her way into the passenger's seat of...
Yeah. Domino, we get her entire luck-based power. Super good. Very well done on the screen.
So well done.
Also, she's just great. She's real good in this.
She knocks it out of the park with the acting. It's like my favorite character in the movie is definitely Domino.
Yeah. But yeah, we get a clash in the convoy between Domino, Deadpool, and Cable, all attempting to either save or kill this Russell. And turns out, though, once everything crashes, Russell's made a friend, the biggest friend in the icebox, and it's Juggernaut. I was super excited for Juggernaut to show up.
I was so happy.
Much like Wade in the movie, where she's like, oh my god, Juggernaut, that's great, I fucking love you. I was like, yeah, same. Real big same for me. The X-Men 3 Juggernaut, while I appreciate the meme reference of I'm the Juggernaut, bitch, was not the best representation.
Yeah. I wish that they were able to use that in this context, but they blew it all those years ago.
All those years ago, they could not do meme references. Come on, Deadpool, where's all the meme references?
Hashtag, where's the memes? Just like Wendy says, where's the memes?
just like Wendy says, memes. It's what's for dinner.
Have the same Juggernaut closeness as you guys? That's on the boobs.
Good. The Juggernaut?
I covered my mic.
I don't care. You need to say it again into the mic.
I covered my mic.
Yeah.
Do you want to be on the podcast or not?
So I don't have
I'm
the
not
same...
going to pressure you. You can say what you want to say.
But
this
I will
safe
say
space.
The Triple X Men with the Jugs or Not and Professor Sex is definitely a thing that has come up before.
So I don't have the same bonus for the Juggernaut. I used to when the X-Men Evolution TV show was a thing. That was great. But then I got boobs and my parents used to call them the Juggernaut because they'd go.
Because they're unstoppable.
They are.
TFW, you boobs.
you boobs.
you boobs.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
And thank you for being a friend.
You know, if you were to throw a party and invited everyone you knew, you would see the biggest gift would be for me.
And the and card attached would say, thank you for being a friend.
Oh, God.
Okay, but yeah, so Juggernaut tells Deadpool that he's going to rip him in half. So he does, which then leads us to this...
Surprisingly brutal.
Yeah, no, it then leads us to this terrible, painful, awful scene that you should just, like, get up and go to the bathroom. With,
no, it's so good. I need you to sit right in the front row of that theater. And
no.
I need you to be as close to the new half of Deadpool.
The way that they get everyone into this scene is really golden, by the way. Just everyone just sort of shows up in short order, and it's really, really funny. But goddamn, he got them baby legs.
He listeners of our show would know that we refer to it as Porky Piggin' It, but in the movie, they refer to it more as Shirt Dickin'.
Yeah.
So nothing below the waist for old Deadpool here with his tiny baby legs.
And that is not all that we see of Deadpool.
More? It's a shocker, folks.
We see the shocker. He shows up.
Two in the pink, one in the stink.
From Spider-Man Homecoming, the shocker shows up.
A static shocker.
You leave my static shock out of this.
So everyone shows up, including Cable, who is now willing to attempt to work with and explain what is going on to Deadpool.
Because the Juggernaut's loose. He can't beat the Juggernaut alone.
No, Juggernaut's big boy.
All he has is gun.
He's just got gun and shield.
Hey, a 14-year-old, gun's all you need. The Juggernaut?
You need
That's
a little
a
bit more.
Story.
A little bit more than gun. My power is gun.
You need a bra to beat Juggernaut.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. A very supportive, firm bra.
What you need is a broppy.
That would explain so much of my youth.
Why Brad Pitt kept supporting your tits in your youth. It's a weird story, but I'm glad we found it out here.
Thank you for your service, Brad.
We salute you on this Memorial Day.
It's helped me get this far in life.
So yeah, the...
You're welcome.
The remaining members of X-Force and Cable are going to go try and get the X-Men to help them. But it turns out they won't, because Colossus is still angry at Wade for just straight up executing a dude on his training mission.
Yep. So, all right, fine. We're going to go and we're going to stop Russell from killing the headmaster of the Essex school, because that's what gives him a taste for blood.
Yeah, he gets a taste for killing, and then
he gets
can't stop.
Horny for killing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're going to like the way I kill. I guarantee it.
You will not like the way that they kill.
You'll love it. You're going to fucking love it.
Or they'll kill you.
Thanks. So they all show up there, and it is go time for a fight against the Juggernaut, which is fabulous, as well as Russell having his ability to run through the school just being a huge fiery dickbag.
Yeah, some good pyrotechnic effects here.
Yeah, good effects all around. It's a very good-looking movie. Like, you get Juggernaut in the way Juggernaut should look, in that he is just a huge, beefy boy. Instead
not
of,
a 6'1" man.
Yeah, I mean, God bless him. I can't remember his name, but the actor that played him, it was fucking Bricktop and several other things. He's been around. I love him. He is a large man, but he is not Juggernaut.
No.
But yeah, then having Colossus and Teenage Warhead and Yu-Gi-Oh show up was great.
Because it's time to duel. That's right, Yu-Gi-Oh.
His cameo was probably my favorite.
Yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh's cameo, mm-hmm. When he just showed up and he was like, this is Blue Eyes White Dragon.
Actually, I just need to correct you all. His name's actually Yami Yugi, not Yu-Gi-Oh. That's a common misconception
actually,
in the Western fan base.
Actually, his name is like Atom or something, because he
that
is
the name
Egypt.
Of the prince. However, the name of the person who is being possessed by the prince.
I'm
through.
Pretty sure you'll find that it's actually Yu-Gi-Oh's monster, and that Yu-Gi-Oh was the doctor.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
You guys are being real Frankenstein's dads right now.
I am not drunk. Oh no, wait. That's Frankenstein's dad's monster.
Yes.
Correct.
So we get a Colossus Juggernaut fight, which I have been waiting for a while. Super good. Absolutely love it.
A veritable Clash of the Titans.
Yep. And we get that fight going down, which ends with a big old electrical cable in the Juggernaut's booty.
Yep.
Yep. Then Yu-Gi-Oh slaps that chain on him. Negasonic Teenage Warhead slams him into a pool where he gets electrocuted.
In the butt forever.
forever and ever and ever.
Back and forth forever. So Deadpool and Cable are then going to try and stop Firefist from killing off the head of the school. And, you know, we get a decent little touching moment between Deadpool and Russell before Russell decides, no, I can't trust anyone, and blows him away. And when that happens, we also get the X-Force costume for Deadpool showing up. His gray and black costume essentially happens after he gets blown up and has ash all over him, and he just essentially turns his red and black costume into the X-Force one with that,
yeah.
Which was a nice little treat.
Just a little attention to detail, a little chef kiss. Sorry, I forgot that there was other people in the room. I just started getting into it with the microphone.
Once I start chef kissing, it's real hard to stop.
That's what he always says. Don't encourage him.
Yeah, he always goes into the back of the restaurant and just starts chef kissing.
Oh, no, he goes into the bedroom and just starts chef kissing. It's real weird. No one else is in there with him.
He's got a can of Chef Boyardee, and he's just kissing on it.
You told me in the privacy of our own bedroom that you found that very erotic. And I frankly am upset that you're dragging it out here in public and pretending like you didn't enjoy it.
I told you I only enjoy it with the can of Chef Boyardee. That's the problem. You just go into the room and just start warming yourself up.
Well, maybe if you communicated this stuff to me a little bit better when I was in the headspace to hear it.
I can't believe you sometimes. You're so toxic. You never listen to a word I say.
So Deadpool.
So. Deadpool's got a hoed on him.
You said you had one more. You used that one.
Surprise.
It's done. you are a bad person.
So Cable goes to shoot Russell, and Deadpool has put on a collar to prove that he's like, look, I'm going to let my life be in your hands. But then he dives and takes the bullet for Russell, and oh, he's going to die. He dies. You guys, he dies. And in a wonderful death scene.
Oh, my gosh.
It was very funny.
What the fuck is that song from Annie? Everyone knows
what
I'm talking
about. The song will come out tomorrow?
That is the full name of the song? Okay, good. Yeah, so that plays, which is great, because fans of Korean television will know Ryan Reynolds sang that song on, it's like King of the Masked Singer. I always get the translated name wrong, and I can't pronounce Korean to save my life, despite being a quarter. I'm sorry, Holmany, I'm trying. But he's saying this one will come out tomorrow on that TV show, and it was amazing, y'all. YouTube it. It's so good.
Yeah, he's flashing those Mickey Mouse Club credentials.
He's got that club.
Roll up in the club.
Bottle full of bub.
But yeah, so
that's right, it's Logan.
What up, bub?
I drink him just out of a small bottle.
So eventually he dies, and
this convinces Russell to not be evil,
as seen by Cable's teddy bear, which stops being covered in ash and terrible.
Yeah, I did appreciate that. Anyone out there looking for time travel, if you need evidence of a shift in the timeline, make sure to bring some sort of token that you can just see identifiable change in.
Yeah, it's good. You know, a teddy bear, a picture of your siblings, anything like that.
A picture of my wife?
Yes, if you're going back in time to try and stop Borat from ever existing, you can go ahead and take a picture of my wife. Yeah.
Old man, look at my wife. I'm
so,
a lot like you were.
It.
So Cable decides to use his only other time jump, because he previously explains that he has just enough juice for two. One to get to our present and one to get to his present of the future. Which Wade is like, that sounds like lazy writing. Double fridging. Anyways, Cable ends up deciding to use his other jump to go back however few minutes so that way he can save Wade's life by putting the skee ball token from his first date with Ness right where the bullet is gonna shoot him.
Yep. And boy howdy, he's alive.
Hey, he's alive. Because it's time for him to be with his family. His ex-family.
It's time for the ex-family. And, yeah.
And hey, ex-family? Gonna give it to you.
So, yeah, they all get together and That's the new X-Force for you. We've got Domino and Cable and Deadpool.
And Yu-Gi-Oh! And Colossus and Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
I feel like Negasonic and Yu-Gi-Oh! Are still clearly going to be X-Men, though, because Negasonic was even like, yeah, we got to go take the kids back.
The orphans that were at the school.
No, I know the ones that Domino loaded into a bus to be loaded into a jet, apparently.
Well, yeah, because they just used the bus to slide down from the second floor.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes a lot more sense, because it was like upside down, and I was like...
Yeah.
How you gonna use this bus?
Yeah, I was like, your luck powers are great, but like, how you gonna get the bus down, girl?
Yeah, so they are a part of his family, though, as pointed out by Nessie.
In his final vision of the movie with her, where he thinks he's finally home and gonna be with her forever and give her lots of kisses.
So many kisses.
Mwah!
Them chef kisses.
Molto bene, molto bene, molto, molto, molto bene. Says Ryan Reynolds.
In his most famous line of the movie.
Yes. Yeah. Deadpool 2, molto bene.
Another spot on impersonation from Quinn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I'm just knocking him out of the park today.
Really, really getting them good. And then we end with Deadpool getting a fixed time travel device. And jumping around to fix the timeline.
By saving the members of the X-Force that died.
Well, saving just Peter.
Saves Peter. Yeah.
I just like assumed that like him saving Peter was like them being like, yeah, no, like he saves everyone, but no.
No, it's just Peter.
Just Peter.
Saves Vanessa. He saves everyone from having to see him in Wolverine.
X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yes.
Shoots Ryan Reynolds when he's holding the Green Lantern script. It's good.
It's very good.
It's a real good.
Oh, one of the other previews that we got on the movie was for the Teen Titans Go movie, which actually also had a reference to the Green Lantern movie, in which when Robin asks the Green Lantern if he's ever had a movie, the Green Lantern says yes, but nobody talks about it.
Yeah.
Also, looks better than I had anticipated it would, but I may have written off Teen Titans Go before its time.
Well, I think Teen Titans Go is garbage, and the reason that this looked good is because it was making fun of how garbage that show was.
That could also be true.
Yeah, yeah.
So there you go. There is our spoilery full review of Deadpool 2. We're going to get into our bests and worsts of the movie. Josette, do you have a best thing in this movie for you?
Quinn. If you would, please.
Thank you.
All right. I'm kind of two minds here.
Okay. You're the man with two brains.
I am the man with two brains. And one brain says, Russell's characterization was very, very good, and I like that a lot.
Yeah.
He also reminded me of my own brand of humor, so
oh my God.
That was helpful.
Russell is an NPC that Quinn would come up with, no doubt.
Russell and Korg from Thor Ragnarok are so incredibly my brand, and I'm glad that Marvel really understands the very specific niche of Quinn Wilson NPCs. But I do think that it's really going to go to Domino. Just everything that has to do with Domino. She was fantastic and really stole every scene she was in.
Good. You got anything for me, Chisette, or am I going now?
I mean, Quinn kind of already said it, but I did really like the relationship between Wade and Yu-Gi-Oh! Because I think that's someone everyone can relate to.
That's
like, hi, I don't really know you, we have nothing to talk about, and now the conversation is over. Bye!
It's so good.
So good.
I think then, for my favorite thing in the movie, I liked... Domino is very good. I'm gonna go ahead and say that. But I really did like the humor in this was good for me. I had several actual laugh out loud moments in the movie. It's very rare for me to have those in comedies, even ones that I enjoy. I'll be like, that's very clever. Thank you. Like, I'll just sort of smile and nod.
I can have that problem as well as someone who does comedy a lot. That's a thing you see with, like, a lot of comedy people. It's like, I admire your craft.
Thank you for sharing that.
Good joke.
well done.
Well played. You play a good joke, boy.
But yeah, I think this had some really good beats to it. So I think they did a really good job with that. The hello end of the movie, Josette. At least I think you know what you're going to say for this one.
Well, I mean, it might be the fact that you just brought up that they had some good beats, but they didn't have any beats and they had a New Zealander in it. And you can't have New Zealander without any beets. Quinn can attest. It's even on their pizza.
They love beets. It's a lot.
That's real weird.
They call it beetroot.
For real, though, it would be the fact that they fridged not once, but twice.
Yeah.
Why? 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 You never need to fridge, and you definitely don't need a fridge twice. Cable could have gone back in time because he takes his job super seriously, and Russell has killed so many people. In fact, he's murdered more people than anybody.
Well, I made a reference to Dragon Ball Z, but that's not even really a joke. They could have done the same thing of, like, he fucked everything up. He's just made the world a horrible place. Got to go back and stop it.
Yeah.
Without, oh, my man pain.
Yeah, and that is the standard Cable thing. He's like, oh, I've got to go back and stop the future from getting super fucked up. And that's the reason I go back. Like, he doesn't have a wife or a kid.
Yeah. You don't have to add fridging to something that doesn't have fridging. And you don't have to use fridging if there was fridging before. Fridging is bad. Don't do it. Or I'm going to stick you in a fridge.
Fridging. Not even once.
Quinn. Worst thing.
So, obviously, fridging's way up there, but to take a different thing, unfortunately, he adds a lot to, like, the comedic timing and the delivery of the movie, but TJ Miller was, I was sort of actively squirming anytime I saw him on screen.
Okay.
So, TJ Miller.
All right, that's fair.
Just, God. He's canceled.
Good. For me, I mean, outside of the whole fridging thing that you mentioned, I think probably the low point for this was, I mean, it's tied into the whole fridging thing, is they just, I feel like they really wanted to drive that man pain home for both Deadpool and Cable. They spend too much time on that.
And I think they were so willing to, like, lampoon so much, but you need your character to have, like, a serious core in order for them to, like, maintain a level of relatability. But they decided that that core that they wanted to stick to was the man pain. And it's,
yeah, it, I mean, I understand that you don't just want your movie to be fucking Looney Tunes, and so you need to actually have a character that has a, like, full range of emotions and has a reason to do what they're doing. But, yeah, you really could have given him a way better set of motivations than just, I'm sad that my wife is dead. God damn it.
Like, I want to be a good pappy to my unborn child that, Beautifulness is so pregnant with and was so excited.
So pregnant.
My friend is so pregnant. My friend is 9 months pregnant. Her baby is due so soon, and I'm just ready for the thing to pop out.
So pregnant.
Like so many babies do.
It's just going to pop out at work one day.
Ooh, I'm hungry. Feed me.
All right, we're going to give... I'll have you two give the rating 0 to 5. We'll give us the rating out of 10, and then I'll give you my rating as well. So, Quinn.
All right, not going to toss it to Josette this time.
I always toss it to Josette first. And
it's because I'm so good at catching. Yeah. The only thing I can't catch is physical objects.
Yeah, you're so good at catching anything that isn't physical.
So I'm talking good. About fish.
I'm talking about drifts.
I'm talking about
the cold,
the rye.
I'm talking about the rock.
Oh, I'm talking about Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Not Dwayne, Dwayne.
I could not catch either of them. In fact, Dwayne The Rock Johnson would probably flatten me if someone threw him at me.
Dwayne's a small boy.
Whereas Dwayne is a big man and I am a little woman. Please don't throw The Rock
you
at me.
You are little women.
I'm all of them. I'm every single little woman. I don't it's know all any in of me. Their names.
The
I'm little woman. It's all in me.
Ooh. But yeah, I'd give it a 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5. Great. Quinn.
And I was going to say 3.5. Pretty good. Very, very funny. 3.5.
All right.
I almost gave 3.5, and I'm so glad that I just went for that solid 4.
There you go. We got a 7.5 out of 10. From the guests.
A solid recommend.
Yeah, I'm going to give it myself out of 10. I'll give it an 8.
You think you're only an 8 out of 10?
Oh, yeah. I think I'm only an 8 out of 10. I got to work on my skills before I get to that 9.
You do, because I don't think you could catch The Rock either.
I know. I need to be able to catch The Rock. That's what everyone who's a 9 out of 10 can do, is catch The Rock.
So, my gentle people, if you can catch The Rock, you are a 9 out of 10.
No fumbles. You fumble The Rock, you're automatically reduced to an 8.
Fumble The Rock, don't get no cock, as the saying goes.
Yes. Correct.
Thank you so much for joining us. Quinn, Josette, you guys want to give a little shout out to anything?
Yeah, you should listen to the show that we're all on, Swallows of the South, and follow that show on Twitter, at Swallows of South. You can follow me on Twitter at MonkeyPieQuinn, that is MonkeyPieQuinn, where I tweet such wonderful things as Han Solo Big Titty Send Tweet.
I don't understand that at all, by the way.
Just think about it. Han Solo, Big Titty, can't lose.
Are you saying he has his own pair of juggernauts?
Makes you think.
Okay, so you can also find me on Swallows of the South, but I would also like to plug the Orpheus Protocol, which I will eventually be recording. I'm currently just on bonus episodes. And if you want to follow a person who really just tweets about Swallows of the South and that Quinn is a giant fucking Waluigi-loving dork, you can find me at Fallon_Ferrone. Which is FALLIN_FORONE.
There you go. And of course, you can find us everywhere that fine books are sold. You can find System Mastery on Twitter and Facebook. Go to SystemMasteryPodcast.com. You'll find all of our shows there. And if you like what you hear, you love the fact that we can make dumb crap like this, and you want us to continue, go to patreon.com/systemmastery. You can throw us any amount of money on there. We always appreciate anything you can give. And, of course, we will be back in another couple of weeks with another movie mastery for you. But until then, you have a good one.